It's 1 o'clock, and this is Observer Radio News. I'm Kristen Eliason with Vita Korhani, Teresa Spahn, and Alexander Gator. It's a cloudy and warm 16 degrees outside our East York studios. Now here are the headlines. One suspect in the Boston Marathon bombing is dead after a shootout with police. And Environment Canada investigates a possible tornado. One suspect in the Boston Marathon bombing is dead this morning, and another is on the loose, police say. The incident began late last night after two suspects killed a Boston-area campus police officer. They also hijacked a car at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. Police chased the suspects before getting into a shootout that ended with one of the two suspects dying. That man has been named as Tamerlan Tsarnev of Cambridge. The second suspect is said to be Tsarnev's younger brother, Dzhokhar. Dzhokhar managed to escape the shootout and is now being hunted by police. Boston is on lockdown, and the Massachusetts governor warned residents to stay inside. Businesses are closed, and transport is also shut down. Three people died, and more than 170 others were hurt when bombs went off Monday at the Boston Marathon. And in local news, a team from Environment Canada is headed to the Shelburne area today to confirm whether a tornado touched down there. The area is about 100 kilometers northwest of Toronto. Heavy winds and rain started around 5:30 yesterday afternoon and caused a lot of damage. One barn was completely destroyed, but nobody was injured during the storm. And that's the latest news. Now here are Vita and Teresa with entertainment.
Thanks, Kristen. So this Sunday is the 42nd Annual Juno Awards. It will be the first time the city of Regina is hosting them. Michael Blueblade will be hosting the show, and he won 11 Junos. Some of the big Canadian names will perform, including Metric, Marianas Trench, Carly Rae Jepsen, and Michael Blueblade himself. Jepsen leads the way with 5 nominations, including Album of the Year. The movie Oblivion comes out in theaters today. Tom Cruise plays Jack Harper. He is an ex-Marine security guard and repairman of an unpopulated Earth. The movie also stars Morgan Freeman. He plays Malcolm Breach, a resistance leader stationed on Earth. To the Wonder also comes out today. The movie stars Ben Affleck as Neil, an American who falls in love with a woman in Paris. When the couple moves back to Oklahoma, Neil's interest starts to falter and the relationship goes downhill. And in other news, meeting someone in the digital age is tricky. You never know whom you're going to get. As Observer Radio News' Kristen Eliason reports, internet dating can be difficult, but it's not impossible to find love online.
More Canadians are dating online. A recent article in Maclean's magazine suggests that a quarter of Canadians and nearly 40 million North Americans have tried the online sites. And they have more than just one way to do it. Lava Life, eHarmony, and Plenty of Fish are all websites for dating. And that's just to name a few. But recently, linebacker for the University of Notre Dame, Mante Teo, was duped in love online. It created a scandal. Now, digital daters know more than ever that they have things to worry about online, and not just love. Lava Life's dating and relationship expert, Kim Hughes, says that some people do misrepresent themselves online. But, she says, most of these lies are harmless.
I think it's people not necessarily wanting to be deceptive, but because maybe they feel less than confident. Okay. Bottom line, though, is we are a paid service. So if you're going to spend time on our site, it's going to cost you. And so someone who had a somewhat dubious agenda would be probably unlikely to want to spend time and money with us, because why would they?
Many of the online daters we spoke to agreed with Hughes. They said that the majority of falsities were an outdated picture or a personality characteristic that didn't match the profile. Sarah Vandewalker is a manager at Aerie by American Eagle. She dated briefly online before finding a long-term relationship from one of the sites. Vandewalker was online for less than a week before meeting her boyfriend. She says that she realized how important it was to be alert while dating online.
Well, it's not like I met him in like a dark alleyway or something. Like, I went out for coffee, like, in a public place. Mm-hmm. So I think, like, obviously I had the knowledge to not be like, yeah, let me come to your house so I can put myself in a dangerous situation.
And while it's important to be safe when meeting offline, Hughes says it is just as important to meet face-to-face as soon as possible. She says that this way, you can be sure that the people you're talking to really are who they say they are. Kristen Eliason, Observer Radio News, Toronto.
And here's Teresa with more entertainment news.
Molly Ringwald, the teenage star of 80s films 16 Candles, The Breakfast Club, and Pretty in Pink, is singing a new tune. She has just released a new jazz album called Accept Sometimes. At 45, the redhead is singing favorites from the Great American Songbook and Broadway shows. She gave small live performances across the country in intimate jazz clubs prior to the album's release. Ringwald's family musical connections with her father. The blind pianist Bob Ringwald performs Dixieland with his Fulton Street Jazz Band. It's Friday and it's time to talk movies. Opening today is the sci-fi flick Oblivion, starring Tom Cruise as Jack Harper. He's a lone drone repairman who one day meets a woman after her spaceship falls from the sky, and then his real adventures begin. Morgan Freeman co-stars. Philly Brown opens today, starring Gina Rodriguez. She plays a young LA hip-hop artist from the wrong side of the tracks. Her mother is in prison and her father is struggling to get by, but a record contract would mean leaving behind everything that's familiar. Lou Diamond Phillips, Edward James Olmos, and Jenna Rivera round out a stellar cast. Now that we are finally experiencing warm weather, gardeners and green thumbs alike are rejoicing. Last Saturday, Toronto's Artistic Orchid Association had an annual orchid show to celebrate the season. The event had information about orchid varieties and how to grow them here in Canada.
Committee member and organizer Rosanna Lee says the event and society is there to help people celebrate the beauty of orchids.
Actually, our society have this orchid show for more than 10 years, around 12 years. So it's quite different with another society show in the Canada. Yes, because we know most of the people like growing orchid but don't know how to find the orchid. Different species or different hybrid from the store, because usually you find the orchid from the Costco, usually just Phalaenopsis of orchid. So we are running this orchid show just to promote the people to know what is the orchid.
The show featured over 20 vendors with Orangis, also known as Rob's Angry Birds, and Phalaenopsis with names like Alice's Rusty, David's Fancy, and Eileen's First. Some species and hybrid orchids you can see and buy. Santos Pix came to Canada from Portugal 30 years ago, and he says he fell in love with orchids soon after. Now he goes around to flower shows to promote his orchid growing business, Exotic Orchids Plus. They are located near Cornwall, and in their 100 by 30 foot greenhouse, they have over 16,000 orchids, mostly hybrids.
At the time I moved from Vancouver to Ontario, to Vineland, put in my van 500 orchids, and I brought them with me. I built a greenhouse, and by the time I moved, I lived there in Vineland for 7 years. I bought a house, and then I decided to move east because of pollution, etc. And then I moved with 5,000 orchids. And I bought I built a greenhouse 100 feet long by 30, and to accommodate, now I am accommodating about 12,000 orchids. It's almost a hobby, but for me, I just pays for the expenses, because I love it.
It's a surprise that the Canadian climate is suitable for orchid growing. Most might think they need a warmer climate to grow, but those in Canada are lucky enough to be able to plant their own orchids in the summertime when temps are mild. Orchids are also getting more popular. Lee says that the Walmart and Costco version of the orchids just don't measure up to what is actually out there.
That was Observer's Radio News' Angelica Botero. And that's all from the world of entertainment. Stay with us after the break when Alexander will have all the latest in literary news.
Styling the elite, from noblemen to queens, Hermes silk scarves, leather shoes, and fine ties since 1837. Buy Hermes, buy luxury.
Here's what's happening in the literary world. Just before publishing her first nonfiction book, author Susan Harrison has died of cancer. Her book, The Silent Wife, is a psychological thriller. It has received excellent reviews from critics. Canadian magazine, The Quill Inquirer, says that Harrison was on the cusp of international success. Harrison was a typesetter for the Toronto Sun. She also edited magazines. She worked on The Silent Wife for 10 years. It will be released in June. Harrison died last Sunday. She was 65. Writing is all about finding your voice. Ryerson University held an event on Monday honoring both Holocaust Remembrance Day and Rwandan Genocide Memorial Day. The event, Right to Heal, brought survivors of the Holocaust and the Rwandan Genocide to speak about their experiences, as well as how to find your voice in the aftermath of genocide. The Observer's Aaron Niles reports.
Holocaust survivor Rachel Stibel recounted her father's attempts to sneak her out of a German ghetto.
I would put you in the sack, and I would take you on my back, and they will check at the gate with a bayonet and poke, and you cannot breathe because we will be shot on the spot.
For Stibel, her suffering was not over. While hiding in a barn, she endured torture at the hands of her father's friend.
I had my own personal Holocaust in that grave because you molested me, you abused me sexually. And I was then 6 years old.
Acts of suffering like the one Stibel had are not uncommon during genocides. Naomi Azraeli, the chair of the Azraeli Foundation, talked about the importance of sharing your experiences.
And what occurred to me is that the act of liberation is completed not only by the telling and by the sharing, but also by the listening. The knowledge that someone is reading you, listening to you, and will remember you is an integral part of the liberation.
For more information, go to israelifoundation.org. Aaron Niles, Observer Radio News, Toronto.
And a Canadian writer almost made it onto Times Magazine's 100 list of world's most influential people. Toronto writer Sheila Haidee was on the short list of 151. Many literary critics thought her book, How Should a Person Be, was one of the best of 2012. The book was published in Canada in 2010. It is a semi-autobiographical novel. Time released the 100 list yesterday. Fiction authors Hilary Mantel and George Saunders made it. And that's all from me. Now back to Kristen for the wrap.
Thanks, Alexandra. That's all the news for now. You can find more news at torontoobserver.ca. On behalf of all of us here at Observer Radio News, thanks for listening and have a great afternoon.